On a cold day in 1926, an entourage of suits flocked to a sandbar on the south shore of Nassau County on New York's Long Island. If there was an aerial view of this gathering, one may have thought that it was a penguin migration. In fact, it was a meeting with some of the world's greatest engineers, architects, and city planners. In the center of the professional flock was a balding, rather serious gentleman. He is known as Moses. Robert Moses, that is. To that point, known as the master builder of the five boroughs of New York, the most powerful man who was called by many as power broker, this Moses, at that date and time, was on one of his very first assignments as the head of the newly formed Long Island State Park Commission. While the group brainstormed what to do with this sandbar, Moses began writing on the back of an envelope. Or was he drawing? A little bit of both, as it is related. Robert Moses was drawing and writing his vision for what the sandbar could become. And in between the roadways and the parking lot was a plan for pedestrians, swimmers, golfers, and clean family entertainment, the sweetest music from Broadway to Jones Beach. Hello, everyone. My name is Richard Arnold Beatty. Many people have tried to tell the story of how Jones Beach Marine Theater came to be. For me, personally, I spent the final 3 years of my childhood working for Robert Moses, Guy Lombardo, and with many of the people you will hear in this audio docuseries. Some listeners will know Jones Beach as a concert venue. It is now double the size, and the lagoons have been concreted over to make room for more seats. For Robert Moses, on that sandbar, drawing and writing on the back of an envelope, his vision was not unlike many other planners of his time. Frank Lloyd Wright had a vision of Sedona, Arizona, where one would not have to get out of their car for anything. The drive-in movie, the fast food pickup window, the drive-up teller at the bank. Where Moses' vision was different was recreation. Moses, on his envelope, contained pools, bathhouses, restaurants, roller skating, golf, swimming, and tunnels so that the walking public didn't have to cross Jones Beach Parkway or Ocean Parkway. They would go under the roadway to the bay at Saks Beach, which had a dock for boaters, a freshwater swim beach, and a plan for an outdoor theater. By 1929, the vision was in process, and many of the projects from the boardwalk, parking, and bathhouses, a saltwater pool, roller skating, and a band shell attracted a great many New Yorkers to Jones Beach. A new summertime resident would be visiting Moses for dinner with his brothers after a very successful run in Chicago. Guy Lombardo, along with his brothers Carmen and Liebert, had just begun a six-night-a-week performance at the Roosevelt Hotel. Carmen wanted to see the ocean. Moses wanted the band to play at Jones Beach and to explain the long-term vision for an amphitheater. It was the first time that Carmen saw the ocean. The meeting produced a friendship that would last for decades. And while Robert Moses dropped seeds, the larger conversation would have to wait. By the fall of 1929, that bubble would burst. the sweetest jasmine on any stage this side of heaven. The Herald Examiner, Chicago, 1928. You're listening to the audio docuseries From Broadway to Jones Beach. I'm Richard Arnold Beatty, the writer, producer, and reporter on this series. Coming up, we will be bringing you the 1930s when the Lombardo family moved to Long Island.
I love Bacco, it's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate flavored Bacco is mighty good for me. Mama puts it in my milk for extra energy. Bacco gives me iron and sunshine vitamin D. Oh, I love Bacco, that's the drink for me.
Welcome back from Broadway to Jones Beach. In 1933, Guy and his wife Lilybell Lombardo spent the summers on Lombardo's boat, a beautiful mahogany cruiser that he'd christened Tempo. Their summer home was docked in Freeport, Long Island. By 1938, Guy and his brothers became United States citizens. Guy Lombardo bought land near the dock on South Grove Street, later named after Guy Lombardo. By 1940, they built their home and subsequently a restaurant, the East Point House. You don't have to be a millionaire or even well-to-do to dance to good dance music in America, Guy Lombardo, in 1940. On radio, Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians had primetime air for a good part of 20 years. The Lombardo Brothers and Company were annually listener favorites in audience polls, selling over 100 million records for Brunswick, RCA Victor, Columbia, and Decca. From 1929 to 1979, the Lombardo Orchestra ushered in New Year's Eve on network radio and television. They were among the highest paid big bands for the longest period of time, when most big bands gave way in the 60s and the 70s to small ensembles. Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians continued to tour. Guy, Carmen, Liebert, and Victor ran the family business and were very good business people. It was Carmen Lombardo who invented the patented vibrato in the saxophone section. Carmen was a reed player who played flute, alto sax, and oboe as needed. Liebert Lombardo, known for his poignant trumpet solos, was Louis Armstrong's favorite player. When the Lombardos moved from Chicago to New York, the band shared a radio program with George Burns and Gracie Allen. At one point, in the late 1930s and the early 1940s, the band was working four or five times a day between recording sessions, radio shows, and live nightly shows at the Roosevelt. In the year 1938, they had five number one singles, including the Carmen Lombardo original, Boo Hoo. The Lombardos dominated radio, even when swing was coming into vogue. The Lombardos hosted the show, Hit Parade, and were always among the top 50 until the big band era on radio ended in 1952. A television series and an overdue appointment with Robert Moses would usher in the longest homestand in big band history. In between, Guy Lombardo would become a raceboat champion, winning the national sweepstakes with his Tempo speedboats in 1946, 1950, and in 1951. Hello, theatergoers. Before you go to the show at the Jones Beach Marine Theater, you can dine in the theater buffet in the Marine Dining Room, overlooking the ocean at the West Bathhouse, the Boardwalk Restaurant, serving dinner from 5:30 to 9 every summer night on Jones Beach. The Boardwalk Restaurant specializing in seafood and shore dinners. To enjoy your meal, please allow 1 hour for the shore dinner. The Boardwalk Restaurant is easily accessible in parking fields 3 or 4.
Looking for a treat to freshen taste and keep breath sweet, get double smoothness, flavor too. Get the gum that's double good to chew.
Double your pleasure, double your fun with double good, double good, double mint gum.
In 1935, a temporary wooden structure was built on Zack's Bay. In the summers from 1936 through 1940, there were water shows, musicals, and operettas produced by Broadway impresarios, the Schubert and Fortune Gallo. The Depression-era built structure had to be torn down for safety reasons in 1945. Robert Moses called on Michael Todd to produce the first seasons after the new amphitheater was finished. Moses had attempted to have the famed Italian opera school La Scala have their summer home at their newly built Marine Theater. A theater trade magazine commented on the new theater. Only Robert Moses could have designed a venue with the house 1/8 of a mile from the stage. But it was the weather and possibly the show, A Night in Venice, full of Strauss waltzes, that doomed Michael Todd's tenure after only two seasons. Robert Moses recalled a conversation that he had in 1929 with Guy Lombardo and his brothers. The Lombardos decided to make a go of it. Carmen Lombardo and his longtime collaborator, John Jacob Loeb, would compose the score for Arabian Nights. It would star famed opera singer Lauritz Melchior and have Helena Scott, Ralph Herbert, William Chapman, and Hope Holiday in the cast. The book would be written by George Marion Jr. Upon agreeing to producing the shows, Guy, Carmen, and Liebert proposed that a four stage be built with an orchestra pit. Moses agreed. The lagoon and pontoon stages were also added, among many other features of the theater. In June of 1954, Guy Lombardo conducted the orchestra for the overture. Next time on From Broadway to Jones Beach, you will hear the score and the stories behind the 1954 and 1955 versions of Arabian Nights. I'm Richard Arnold Beatty. This is a Sound Century audio production.
Overture, Arabian Nights. The main characters of the original cast at Jones Beach Marine Theater are not actors. They are the visionaries, the entrepreneurial impresarios who had vision of what the theater on Zack's Bay could become. Arabian Nights, with a book written by George Marion Jr., with music and lyrics by Carmen Lombardo and John Jacob Loeb. Carmen's longtime collaborator and a brother-in-law to the Lombardo brothers. It was the vision of the founder of Jones Beach and the Long Island State Park Commission, Robert Moses, who had the idea to build an 8,200-seat amphitheater to replace the old wooden review stands for the water shows that played over the two decades each summer. I am often asked how I became interested in operetta. The answer is the Jones Beach Marine Theater, site of my earliest theater-going experiences. At Jones Beach, I saw A Night in Venice in 1952 and Arabian Nights in 1953, the following two seasons, and everything subsequently, usually opening nights, as my grandfather ran the restaurants at Jones Beach at the time. Hence, my watery beginnings in operetta. That's from Richard Traubner, author of Operetta, A Theatrical History. The original cast recording was recorded on June 13, 1954, at Columbia Studios on 30th Avenue in Manhattan. The studios at Columbia were known for their high cathedral ceilings and square footage big enough to take in the sounds of a full Broadway orchestra and cast. It is also the place where Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians, as well as Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, and Billie Holiday, recorded the most classic library of jazz and big band. When the Lombardos sat in the seats at Jones Beach Theater in 1953, they were aware that the distance between the audience and the main stage was 1/8 of a mile. The chasm brought on a brainstorm between Guy, his brothers, and Robert Moses. A four stage, an orchestra pit, and two pontoon stages would bring in a more intimate experience for the audience and versatility to the musicals. Microphones were placed in a row along the four stage. Gina Lombardo, One of my father's jobs each summer was to go to a department store and buy out the store's inventory of pantyhose. The family would turn the pantyhose into microphone windscreens. The elements at Jones Beach became part of the adventure. The lights, sound, and recording equipment were always first-rate and state-of-the-art. The Lombardos were detailed-oriented, road-tested, and knew how to take home field advantage in presenting bigger-than-Broadway extravaganzas. The rebuilt Jones Beach Marine Theater replaced an earlier wooden structure of the 1930s. It was one of several open-air summer theaters built around the country. La Scala is said to have had an eye out to present opera and be an American subsidiary of its famed opera school in Italy. In the end, they rejected the idea. Robert Moses first turned to Broadway producer Mike Todd, who turned the Strauss waltzes of A Night in Venice into a larger-than-life work in the summer of 52. The weather did not hold up for Mr. Todd, with lots of rainouts and refunds. Todd turned his sights to film with Around the World in 80 Days. Ironically, the Lombardo brothers produced that musical a few years later. Lombardo had a restaurant and home in Freeport and agreed to take on Jones Beach Marine Theater. The cast of Arabian Nights was stellar, with Laurits Melchior taking the role of the Sultan, Ralph Herbert, Hope Holliday, Helena Scott, and William Chapman rounding out the leads. The Lombardo-Loeb tandem wrote a tuneful score. There are comedic moments, love duets, and a waltz that pleased the crowd nightly. There were also 17 women in the water ballet. The barge and boat sets were brought in, as well as a mechanical whale, which New York Times artist Al Hirschfeld enjoyed drawing. Melchior appeared on Guy Lombardo's television show. The New York Times reviewed the show, "Sumptuous, spectacle of color. Variety, why bother with a plot when you have a disappearing water ballet?" As in the tradition of Jones Beach Marine Theater, the recording includes Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians after the show performing their classic songs for your dancing and listening pleasure. Arabian Nights opened June 24, 1954, and played until Labor Day.
Skies, they know it's great to be alive. The rooster crows a little louder. Clams clam up when you suggest clam chowder. Baghdad boys know every girl enjoys a desert date. A moonlight drive, he brings her home. It's nearly dawn outside. From such a harmless little camel ride, her pa says, "Son, you've won yourself a bride." That boy won't wait to set the date. He knows it's great to be alive.
Lombardo presents Lauritz Melchior in Arabian Nights at the Jones Beach Marine Theater in Wantagh, New York. It's the 3rd of July, 1954. It's a Saturday evening. Theater goer used entrance D to get in that Saturday evening. He went to box 12, row C, and seat 14. Pretty good seats, especially for $4.40. Stapled inside of the program is a yellow flyer with a beautiful picture of Jones Beach Theater with lights pointing to Arabian Nights. Jones Beach State Park from 1929 to 1954. It was the silver anniversary of Jones Beach. And this was Robert Moses' crown jewel. The show started nightly at 8:40 p.m. Reserve seats from $1.10 to $4.40 for box seats. Tickets and reservations at theater box office, booths along Boardwalk, the bathhouse manager's offices. Also, you could purchase tickets at the Rivoli Theater in New York Park at Theater Field or Field Number 5. Restaurants, Marine Dining Room at the West Bathhouse was open from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Boardwalk Restaurant at the Central Mall, 12 noon to midnight. Outdoor dancing, 9:15 p.m., no charge, at the Music Shell with Wally Rhodes and his orchestra. Thursday, they had square and folk dancing, Ed Delacker and the Top Hands. There was softball, no charge nightly except Sunday and holidays, 8:30 p.m. Sunday and holiday afternoons, 2:30 p.m., stadium near East Bathhouse. The Hole-in-One Tournament, nightly at the course east of the mall, Hole-in-One and nearest to Cup Awards. And roller skating shows, no charge, 9:45 p.m., June 27th and July 11th at Skating Rink, featuring national champions. And don't forget about the new Captree Causeway and Captree State Park. Shuttle ferry service to Fire Island State Park. Charter and open fishing boats at Captree Boat Basin. Bus service available from Patchogue to Babylon area to Captree. Please help to keep your park clean. Deposit refuse in baskets. Dogs not permitted on walks or beach at any time. Do not leave valuables in parked cars. And the park closes at 1 a.m. And before we hand you over, BOAX, Long Island's own food markets. All beef sold at BOAX is U.S. government graded prime or choice, made even better by BOAX's famous tenderay method. U.S. government graded prime or choice beef, plus tenderay assures you of the best beef money can buy. It's the finest steak this side of heaven. BOAX Deluxe Tenderay Beef, sold only at BOAX Food Markets. This just into the Long Island Daily Press, showboats coming to Jones Beach. It's a cold day to be talking about the beach, but there's something real hot in the way of news from Jones Beach. It's the announcement of next summer's show, Oscar Hammerstein's renowned musical Showboat. We can't think of a more inspired choice. Showboat is one of the most colorful and beloved musicals of all times. The Jones Beach Marine Theater is just the place for it. The lagoon between the audience and the large stage will make an ideal bend in the Mississippi River with docks and levees. And there'll be a specially built showboat with paddle wheels, chugging around as a floating stage for the close-ups. Can't you just hear him singing, Old Man River? Make Believe, and Why Do I Love You? That's an announcement in the Long Island Daily Press in December 1955.
The Mutual Broadcasting System invites you to join with us on the main stage of the Marine Theater, Jones Beach, Long Island, where we have exclusively transcribed the formal opening of this great theater for its summer presentation of Showboat. Notables and important people from all walks of life have gathered here in the 8,200 seats to witness the first presentation of the musical classic Showboat. The theater is uniquely appropriate for the production of Showboat because its stage is surrounded by the waters of the Great South Bay, permitting for the first time a full-size replica of the original Cotton Blossom to be included in the performance. To conduct the formal opening ceremonies which you are about to hear, we will present Jinx Falkenberg, celebrated model and star of radio and television. Jinx is a resident of Long Island and is especially regarded in this community for her many contributions to civic and welfare programs. Her appearance on the stage this evening is an annual event. She will introduce for us and the assembled audience Guy Lombardo, producer of Showboat, Oscar Hammerstein II, who wrote the play and lyrics for Showboat, and Mr. Robert Moses, president of the Long Island State Park Commission, who is responsible for the development of Jones Beach and the construction of this, one of the world's great outdoor theaters. And now to the center stage and Jinx Falkenberg.
Well, good evening. The Dodgers may be rained out tonight, but the Showboat goes on in the Marine Stadium. Well, I said the Dodgers may be rained out tonight, but the Showboat goes on right here in the Marine Stadium. And in all kinds of weather, this is still the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I think it's far more beautiful than Monaco. And if we only had a prince, then Grace Kelly might be Her Serene Highness of Jones Beach now. Of course, we don't have the gambling of Monte Carlo here, except on the Showboat. Show business itself is a bigger gamble than roulette. In roulette, at least, you have only to bet against the wheel, not against the weather. I think all of Long Island, and especially New York, owes a debt of thanks to Guy Lombardo, who has so often bet against all the elements, and always for the benefit of all New York, to bring us great shows to this most beautiful seaside playground in the whole world. Let's meet him now, the musical musician who has moved the Mississippi all the way from Louisiana to Long Island, Mr. Long Island, Guy Lombardo.
Thank you, Jinx. Well, thank you very much, Jinx, and ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Showboat. We're certainly happy that you're here, although the night... But we're certainly happy to have you here, and we hope you're going to like our show, Showboat. You know, Arabian Nights was quite a success. It had 2 years here, and it played to about 1 million people. When my brothers and I decided to do Showboat, we had a lot of things to contend with. We had to do an intimate show in this huge, beautiful amphitheater, and it took a lot of planning. This show was planned almost 10 months ago, and it seems that 10 months is a long time to do a show that lasts 10 weeks. But we've had wonderful help. We've had the help of Mr. Hammerstein, who wrote the lyrics, and Mr. Kern wrote the music, and Miss Ferber wrote the book. We've had great technicians. We've had the best of choreography. We've had the best scenic designers. And we've had great help from everyone. Now, I'm sure that tonight you're going to see Showboat done for the first time in its natural environment on the water. Now, in a moment, I want you to meet Mr. Hammerstein and Mr. Moses. They have been a great inspiration. Mr. Moses, especially, who built this beautiful amphitheater, who built Jones Beach, I would say that it's probably one of his pet projects. Now, my brothers and I are certainly grateful that you're all here. I thank you for coming, and I hope you like Showboat. Thank you, Jinx Falkenberg.
Thank you very much, Guy Lombardo. And now let's meet the man whose poetry set to music all America knows by heart. And let's use his own lyrics from one of his great hits, South Pacific, to serenade him now on his Showboat tonight. We're in love, we're in love, we're in love, we're all in love with a wonderful guy named Oscar Hammerstein.
I'll do my best. Can you hear that?
Showboat has played all over the world, in many cities, and for many years. And it's played in all kinds of theaters. But tonight, the performance will be unique and a first.
Do you remember me?
Because for the first time, Showboat will be played on a showboat. It will probably be the most realistic performance we've ever given. And yet in the theater, you must always use your imagination for one reason or another. And even though we sail in tonight on a real showboat, since showboats used to ply the Mississippi in the South and in the summertime, you will have to imagine the climate. You will have to imagine that it's warmer and that the wind is very still. And I think you will have a good time imagining and seeing what is real. And we certainly hope you enjoy our efforts. I would like at this time to express my gratitude to Guy Lombardo for his vision and courage in producing this play as he has produced it. And I want also to express my gratitude to a man we're indebted to for many things besides this beautiful theater, for beautiful roads and bridges and comforts and beauty of all kinds in and around our city, Mr. Robert Moses.
Thank you very much, Oscar Hammerstein. It's very appropriate that this premiere of Showboat tonight at the Marine Stadium should be taking place on the longest day of summer, longest day of the year. Will be the shortest night, too, when you see this production, I'm sure. Our real host tonight, this modern Moses, who has added another commandment to the original 10, enjoy yourself, everybody. The pursuit of happiness was a part of our Declaration of Independence. We'd like you now to meet the man who has helped so many millions of New Yorkers catch the happiness that we all pursue. The man who always keeps his promise to deliver a promised land, Commissioner Robert Moses.
Jinx Falkenberg, Oscar Hammerstein, Guy Lombardo. On behalf of Herb Swope and Andrew Duke, who are my associates, the Long Island Park Commission, I welcome you here this evening. Jones Beach started about 27 years ago. And in all the time since then, we've been trying to improve it, to improve the access so that you could get here better, to add facilities of different kinds, and to take care of crowds that have run from the original 300,000 into the millions in recent years. Now, we began with a stadium here that some of you may remember. It was a wooden affair built during the Depression by the WPA, and it served as an experiment station. We tried all sorts of things here, as you will also remember. We tried shows and vaudeville and bands and one thing or another, and finally we got down to these dramatic productions. And when the wooden stadium gave out, we had enough support, popularly and in the press and in Albany, to get this permanent stadium that you see here this evening. And we began with a night in Venice as the first show, and then we had the show in the last 2 years that you're familiar with, and now we have the show that we've always wanted from the very beginning. We have wanted this show. We've wanted Showboat because it belonged here. It fitted here. And I think at the very start that Oscar had some idea that this was too big a stage, that the intimate parts of the show would be lost here. And so they figured out, having a good deal of the action on the showboat itself, which you will see shortly. So this great novel of Edna Ferber's, the music, which we've been listening to for years, appears here this evening in what I think is an ideal setting. I want to congratulate all those who had a part in putting the show on, the cast, the executives of the commission, and of course, our partners in the enterprise, Guy Lombardo and Oscar Hammerstein. I'll let the show go on.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Robert Moses, for this and for so many, many things that we all appreciate so much and always have through the years and always will. We'd like to thank Guy Lombardo, whom you heard here at the beginning of the program. He's gone down into the orchestra pit to strike up the band, to start the music and start the showboat on its way. Thanks to Oscar Hammerstein for coming out here tonight for this very special debut. He didn't know it, but I told him as we were walking across the stage that there's a big screening of his great production, The King and I, in New York City tonight, but he is here for Showboat. And now, as Mr. Moses said, it's time for the show to go on, and we hope that the Showboat has a long, long and successful run, and that the weather will be very good the rest of the summer, so that all of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, everyone in the listening area and driving area can come on out with the family and have a wonderful day at Jones Beach and wind up the evening in the Marine Stadium looking and listening to this production of Showboat. On with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have presented the voices of Miss Jinx Falkenberg, Mr. Guy Lombardo, Mr. Robert Moses, Mr. Oscar Hammerstein II, who cooperatively are presenting from the Marine Theater at Jones Beach on Long Island in New York, a classic spectacular production of Edna Ferber's Showboat. This giant amphitheater, which seats 8,200 people and is built on the shores of the Great South Bay, is uniquely adapted to the presentation of this immortal play. It is here that a stage of more than a third of an acre in size has been built in the middle of a lagoon of water. The showboat itself has been built in accurate replica and plays an important part in the presentation. The opening performance is about to get underway as we leave the air with Mr. Guy Lombardo now entering the orchestra pit, where his famed orchestra will be playing the music which has been provided by Jerome Kern and featuring the lyrics from this area. As the band begins, we invite you to come to Jones Beach this summer. This has been a transcribed presentation of Mutual, the network for all America.
This page is left intentionally blank. This page is left intentionally blank. So I come to the empty page. I fill up the empty stage. Somewhere between joy and rage, we tend to make something from nothing. Brass Rabbit. Brass Rabbit, like a raybuck sticks his neck out, like a rabbit changes spots. Don't get stuck in what it's all about. That will help out a lot. This page is left intentionally blank. They cannot cash this at the bank. It is best to give thanks, so thanks. This page is left intentionally blank. Like a full deck of cards, like a weekly reader, like a simile meets metaphor, like a trick or treater. The page is left. All that's left is a page. I give many thanks to the folks at the bank. But this page is left intentionally blank.
Way up to the sky, the moon's just over my eye. We're back in the saddle, we need to skedaddle. We can make it up by morning hardscrabble. The forecast is calling for rain, it will be snow in the higher terrain. Coffee is hot, but it doesn't warm me a lot. The eggs are hard scrambled. But we've been here before. Looks pretty much the same. But who knows what's in store? A little blood mixed in with the pain. It'll wash out with rain over the mountain range. Mud season in the lower terrain. We mutter, we babble, we're all take a gamble. Hard winter at the top of hard scrabble. But we've been here before. Pretty much looks the same, but who knows what's in store? A little blood mixed in with the pain, washed out with the rain now. Halfway up to the sky, the moon's looking over my eye. We're back in the saddle. We need to skedaddle. We can make it by morning hardscrabble. We need to make it hardscrabble. No, I know what you're saying. What is a Raybuck? I didn't really want to go down this Raybuck hole, but since you asked, that's why this page is usually left intentionally blank. This week on Natural Habitats from Mutual of Oompapa, I am George Glimpton. Common Raybuck. The temperate forest and grassland dwelling common Raybuck of temperature latitudes of the northern continent is the archetypical type species of the genus Ungulagus. It grows to around 2 meters high and has dappled coat, which camouflages it effectively among the trees. They are normally found in small herds of between 10 and 12 individuals. It is covered in orange-brown fur with a white-patterned belly streak and tail, almost mimicking the white-tailed deer. Now, shh, don't get too close. They have antlers, mind you. There's a rarity. That's the Beatles. That's Paul McCartney and the demo of Mother Nature's Son for the White Album. And you could hear Lennon chiming in a little bit towards the end of that track. You're in the listening room. I'm Richard Beatty. And before that, you heard a little bit of my attempt at comedy. That was Comedy in Kind. We had George Blimpton talking about nature and about the rare science fiction animal called the Raybuck. And before that, a new piece called This Page Intentionally Blank. And that's something you get in a prospectus, maybe a breakfast cereal.
Okay, so I go to the doctor and he asks me, "How long have you had this problem?" "All my life." He looked alarmed. "You've been seeing spots?" "No, doctor. All my life, I've been hearing spots. 1 minute spots, 30 second spots, really well written spots. I hear spots that get results. They are very good spots." And then he looked into my ears and he asked me, "Do you know the legend of the spotted rabbit?" "The spotted rabbit has never been seen except for a well-defined spot on his back. And yet only people who are tuned into a frequency. I admitted to the doctor that I do hear the spotted rabbit. Will it ever go away? No, replied the doctor, unless you lose your imagination. Spotted Rabbit, creative, productive spots that get results. Email paidtothinkradio@gmail.com.
Oh, my friend, that cup no more.
Hey, everybody, this is Richard Beatty in the listening room. And I want to just tell you that when I was building my studio, I work with a gentleman who builds computers. He designed a desktop IBM computer for my studio. I connected JBL studio monitors, a Focusrite amplifier, and various sound devices, and mixed a SoundCloud and Buzzsprout connection. The result of combining the hardware and our content was absolutely stunning. With our Sound Century digital library of vintage concerts, programs, and shows, the dimensions of sound were as though the listener had gone back in time and was in the concert hall or theater. When combined with business or arts presentations, with a PowerPoint on the screen with mixed sound from a produced audio publication or business planning events, the quintessential qualities of this studio, with great writing, voice, music score, and sound effects, is cinematic in scope. This could go for schools who are cutting music programs. Listening room technology can bring audio-visual technology and recording arts curriculum with the interactive listening room with microphone and editing software. We're also working on worship services, sermon, and Bible study curriculums, college lectures, classic speeches, historic debates, sporting events, and radio shows are also part of the listening room library. Through audio documentaries, history can be brought to life. Businesses can bring their business plan, on-the-job training, board meetings to a new quintessential level. And healthcare facilities can bring activities to residents and staff, patients and families in new and exciting ways. Musicians can release new recordings with a record release party and a live concert. There are design options for surround sound editing software and upgrades or custom production based on client needs and training. The last option for concert halls and live music venues is a listening room sound system option that will mix live sound of instruments and vocals, as well as having the option of vintage digitally mastered concerts and shows in between live performances. If this is something that you're interested in finding more about, let me know. Email me at paytothinkradio@gmail.com. paytothinkradio@gmail.com. Thanks for listening today, and we'll be back next week with more from the listening room.